A major natural gas producer is not contesting criminal charges for polluting drinking water supplies in the town of Dimock, Pennsylvania. Dimock, you might remember, became the face of the anti-fracking movement after the 2010 documentary Gasland. The Oscar-nominated movie documents water contamination at homes there near the drilling operations of Cabot Oil and Gas. Susan Phillips with State Impact Pennsylvania has covered the story over the years, and she's here now to talk about it. Hi, Susan. Thanks for joining me.
My pleasure. Great to be here.
First, what happened in Dimock? Set the stage. And I guess more importantly, what have residents been going through there?
Actually, the first fracking well into the Marcellus Shale was drilled in 2006. And then on New Year's Day in 2009, one of the residents' sheds blew up. And what had happened was methane had migrated into the private water wells of the residents in that area. And it's important to remind folks that a lot of people in rural Pennsylvania have private water wells. They are not hooked up to a public water supply. There were also heavy metals found in the water. These folks had to use what they called water buffaloes. They couldn't use their tap water for drinking, and they were afraid to use it for showers and bathing as well. Methane itself is not toxic if you drink it out of the water. The problem is that if it's in a high enough concentration in an enclosed space, like anything, any spark can make it explode. And that's why the shed exploded. You know, there was the documentary Gasland that was put out that sort of put Dimock on the map. And there were, like, you know, famous scenes of people lighting their tap water on fire. So there was a lot of points where, at the time, Cabot Oil and Gas, it's now called Coterra Energy, paid for the water. And then they stopped paying for the water. So that made people's houses worthless if they didn't have water. A lot of people moved. People had a difficult time because they had to provide their own drinking water.
Charges against Cabot, now Coterra, were announced in 2020 by Attorney General Josh Shapiro, now Governor-elect Shapiro, after a grand jury report. What is the company admitting to?
So the charges were related to the poor well construction and the gas migration and the company's failure to fix it. Remember, up until very recently, the company, Cabot, like you said, is now Coterra Energy, refused to admit that their actions polluted the water in Dimock. I mean, it's kind of a weird thing to plead no contest, but basically it means you're not admitting guilt, but you're also not challenging the charges. And so for the past 2 years, Cabot had said they were going to fight these charges. And these charges are all primarily under the state's Clean Streams Law. So the deal that was worked out by the Attorney General was that Cabot would pay more than $16 million to help fund a public drinking water supply that has to be built in Dimock. Also, in the meantime, they have to provide water to the residents, and they have not been doing that. And also, that money will pay for the water bills of the residents for the next 75 years, which is a lot. If they had actually gone to trial, the largest fine that the company would have paid was about $600,000, which is nothing. $600,000 is pocket change for a company that's worth about $21 billion.
These are criminal charges, right? But nobody is going to jail.
Yeah, no. It's pretty tough to find a specific person that you can hang these charges on. I mean, you'd really need a lot of good evidence. So in many of these cases, in most of these cases, it's the corporation that is charged and nobody gets put in handcuffs and nobody gets put in jail. But the corporation itself is considered an individual and so faces these charges in a criminal court.
What did Josh Shapiro say at the court hearing where the company pleaded no contest to the charges?
Yeah, so after the courthouse, he had a press conference, and he basically said that there are failures at every level, including not just local politicians who refuse to do anything, but also the state regulators, and in this case, that would be DEP. So they were pretty critical of DEP. That's the Department of Environmental Protection. He also said that, you know, this is a message to the gas industry that the state will not tolerate this kind of behavior in the future.
I know you reported DEP had some things to say about their role in holding the company accountable. As you mentioned, Shapiro and Dimmick residents have been very critical of what they have done over the years. What did DEP say?
Well, DEP defended its record. It said that the experience in Dimmick led them to advocate changes to the state's oil and gas law. Previously, the law was pretty bad when it came to having good standards in place for fracking wells that, you know, for the first time went so deep and were horizontal and included high-pressure fracked wells. All of this is what led to what happened in Dimmick with the poorly constructed wells. It also said that it still has a moratorium in place. There is a drilling moratorium in place in a 9-square-mile region in Dimmick, and that this new consent decree that's a result of these criminal charges, you know, does provide water treatment systems to impacted residents in the meantime until the public water system is available. And it also requires the company to plug 19 of its producing wells within the restricted areas, and requires Coterra Energy to also evaluate certain plugged wells that are now in the area. So any wells drilled outside of that area that have horizontal sections in the Marcellus Shale are also, it says, subject to the strictest conditions imposed on any driller in the Commonwealth. So it's basically saying, you know, look, we did do our job.
There has been, though, a timeline of, over the years, violations, fines, lawsuits, even some studies that confirmed that there was water contamination. What did this history of actions accomplish, and why is this outcome, where the company is not denying responsibility, different?
Yeah, well, they were forced into it by this criminal case. I mean, I think one of the reasons it took so long is because Cabot just always denied everything. Even, like you said, in the face of clear evidence to the contrary. And they continued to drill and rack up violations, even after these incidents in 2008, 2009. Just to say, there was a payout. Like, so Cabot did settle with a lot of these families and give them money. But for example, if you're getting $100,000, that does nothing to give you a permanent water supply.
What do Dimmick residents say now?
The folks I spoke to are definitely happy about the deal. They feel vindicated that, you know, finally Cabot is held accountable. I didn't talk to everybody, but I heard that there were some people who felt like there should have been more money on the table. But overall, I felt like from talking to them that people were happy that they were finally going to get clean water and it was going to be reliable clean water.
Have you learned anything from following this case, like as a reporter?
Yeah. I mean, look, the laws on the books were minimal then. They're minimal now. I mean, in terms of fines, it's a lot cheaper for companies to pay a fine than to drill correctly. And the water line won't be in place for another 2 to 3 years. But it means that those who are still in their homes have homes that are worth something, you know, and they will have clean water that they don't have to haul. I think one of the biggest takeaways from this is I hope that Pennsylvania's politicians and the regulators are going to be more cautious the next time an unfamiliar industry comes into the state and starts drilling everywhere or doing whatever they are doing that's new and tries to like assess what's happening ahead of time instead of after the fact. I think that was the big problem here was just it came in hard, it came in fast, it was like drill, baby, drill, and there didn't seem to be a lot of oversight. There didn't seem to be a lot of knowledge on the company's part in terms of the geology of Pennsylvania and just how, you know, different it is from a place like Oklahoma or Texas.
Well, thank you so much, Susan.
You're welcome.
Susan Phillips is a reporter with State Impact Pennsylvania and WHYY. There's more at AlleghenyFront.org. You're listening to The Allegheny Front. I'm Kara Holsapple.